Beloved, we are always practicing something. It is a saying from the Generative Somatics lineage, a community of embodiment practice of which I'm a part of, a student of. We are always practicing something. So when I become irritated with my child for not following through on what I've asked of them, I am practicing something. Practicing a kind of dominance. Bend to my will. Do it on my time. I am practicing urgency. Practicing scarcity mentality. But when I am patient and tender and lean into what they need, when I listen for what is blocking them from engaging what I've asked of them, this 5- and 6-year-old, I am also practicing something. I am practicing care, practicing generosity, practicing reciprocity in relationship, even with a child, practicing trust. What I practice, my kids watch. What they watch, they learn from. What they learn from, they practice. Right? We are always practicing something, which is to say, every moment is a seed. Every moment is a seed. Every moment, a planting of what is possible. Every moment, a reproduction of a new way of being or the same way of being. Every moment is a seed. And so we must ask ourselves, what are we practicing today? What seeds are we scattering today? The temptation here might be to lean toward perfection. For me, that is my temptation anyways. As I reflect upon the seeds I have scattered, there have been many in just the last 24 hours. I may feel good about some, but I will also discover shame buried beneath the rocks of the seeds that I have scattered, shame that I carry for the ways I have planted seeds for the things I did not mean to replicate. But before any of us go too far down that spiral of shame, let us recognize that here too, even in our mistakes, even when we acknowledge that those are the seeds we have scattered, even then we are still sowing seeds. We will make mistakes, right? We will cause harm. We will sow seeds of pain, for we are human. But ask yourself, what are the seeds we will sow after? After the harm, can we sow seeds of grace, humility, apology, and repair? What seeds are we scattering today? The gospel parables today are parables of seed, right? They are stories about seeds. The content themselves is about seeds, both scattered and strong. But parables themselves, the story of a parable, parables themselves are seeds. These little stories are small capsules of life, scattered onto rocky terrain and looking for fertile soil so they can take root. Parables are stories offered up into a world in stark contrast to the one in which they are told. They are kernels of imagination placed on broken land and intend to unveil the harm of what is and invite us into a new dream for the world. The Christian ethicist and author of Earth-Honoring Faith, Larry Rasmussen, has been doing earth-honoring faith work for decades now. And as he writes about what it will take for us to change, to make the change that we wish to see in our creation, he says, for deep change to happen, the drag of normalcy must be resisted and the conventional wisdom doubted. The drag of normalcy must be resisted and the conventional wisdom doubted. That is the work of a parable, right there. They were Jesus' way of teaching to reveal the world as it is, to turn it on its head, and to help us imagine the world that we actually want. They were stories intended to challenge the drag of normalcy, to disrupt the conventional wisdom. These stories were intended to free us from the status quo of our own thinking, to disrupt our excuses that immobilize us and invoke bold imagination and invitation into changing the world toward the vision of the kingdom of God. So what story is getting turned on its head today? Parables are always like a little riddle that you have to unpack, right? And every time you read them, it might be different, the lesson you are receiving. And so today, what is the story getting turned on its head? What is the conventional wisdom that is being disrupted? What rocky soil is this seed landing upon? As we gather to celebrate this congregation's commitment to creation care and find ourselves muddling through scriptures, coincidentally, that includes stories about seeds and promises of new creation in the lectionary, we must ask ourselves these questions. What is the possibility that's being opened up and the imagination that is being offered to us in this seed of story? If we're to survive the climate crisis that we find ourselves in, I believe that there are many disruptions to conventional wisdom that must occur. Here are just a few. We must reframe what we think we are giving up and consider instead what we are gaining. We must move away from a world that rewards independence to one that affirms and prioritizes interdependence. We must stop believing that we are superior to the land and the more than human world, the bugs and the trees and the water and the wolves. We must seed, C-E-D-E, right? Seed, surrender. We must seed our human supremacy. We must acknowledge that we are nature, not just placed near it or beside it or within it. We are nature. We are animals made of dust, imbued with the holy breath, the holy wind of God in life. And these beings all around us are our sacred relatives, not commodities. These are huge shifts in our conventional wisdom that drive our daily life. And we cannot explore all of them today. There are many more, to be sure, that need to be challenged. But the one that I want to lift up is just this one. We are in relationship with the earth. That's it. We are in a relationship with the earth. Just like I have a relationship with my neighbor and my friends and my children and my parents, I am in relationship with the earth. I was in northern Minnesota this weekend at the Treaty People Gathering to protect the water up there. And one of the indigenous leaders I had the blessing of learning from was Reverend Jim Baer. And he asked us this question. How many of you have been saying, he's kind of poking fun at some of the older folks. I was not alive at this time, so sorry. How many of you have been saying since the 1970s, Mother Earth is so important? We must protect it. Several people solemnly nodded their heads in agreement. Yes, 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 we must. And then he went on to say, this is all well and good, but our language is revealing about the nature of our problem. The earth is our sacred relative, and we must protect her. Her, not it. We must protect her. What does it do to us when we refer to the earth as a sacred being, a being that we have a relationship with? We are in relationship to the earth, and it is because we have forgotten that, that we are in this trouble we are in. We have instead trusted the idea that the earth is a thing, an it, that we can use and use up. It is a commodity to be extracted, a possession to be bought and sold and traded and owned. And the people of the First Nations of this land have been the prophetic voice calling us back to that relationship, to the relationship to her. Since the very beginning of when settler colonial people arrived on this land, they have been reminding us that we have broken relationship, not only with her, but with all other beings and humans upon her, who live here with her. They have been calling us back toward this relationship and challenging the idea that the settler colonial people first landed with, the idea that we could own other beings, human or otherwise. And just as people have had to do to justify slavery and white supremacy, we have had to sacrifice things to hold on to those death-dealing ideas. As we cling to those ideas, we actually give up a part of ourselves and are damaged, too, by this idea. We have divorced ourselves from our own bodies and what they need most, clean air, clean water, nutritious food, and right relationship. We need right relationship to survive. We have divorced ourselves from those things in service of consumption and superiority. We have not only broken a relationship to the earth, we have broken a relationship with ourselves, with our own bodies and our own health. Now, you may have expected a sermon today that was an exhortation for you to recycle, to buy solar, to consume less, to plant native seeds, to walk more. Those are great practices. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. But the radical change really comes when we get at the root. That's what the word means, radical, right? To get at the root. Though fossil fuels have accelerated our demise, though disposable culture has piled waste upon the planet and is filling our oceans, these are not actually the root of what is broken. Don't hear me say that. I'm not saying don't stop fighting those, right? Keep fighting. But they are not the root. We make those choices to extract resources that take thousands of years to form. Thousands. We make those decisions, and then we throw the fruit of that labor, all that was made with all of that resource, we throw it into the oceans when we're done. We think everything is disposable, right? I can't get a coffee pot fixed anymore. We make those decisions because we have forgotten that we are in a relationship. We have forgotten that we are dependent upon the earth and that our health is entangled upon one another. The brilliant author, ecologist, and Indigenous professor Robin Wall Kimmerer writes about this relationship as one of reciprocity. Reciprocity, right? We give to one another. We support and care for one another. That to live with the earth is to live in a gift economy. When we recognize ourselves as nature, not just consumers of it, when we recognize the trees and the water and the fish as our relatives, then we truly believe and recognize and acknowledge that everything is a gift. Everything. Even the strawberries and the shade. And when we receive that gift, we treat them as such. We are inspired to care for them, to offer thanksgiving for them. And when we do, when we care for the fish, they care for us. When we protect them, there is enough of them to feed us. When we care for the trees, there will be enough of them left to shelter us. It is why there were 2,000 water protectors, 350 of them spiritual leaders and clergy, who showed up in Minnesota last weekend to protect the water, to protect the gift of water, to acknowledge that it is a gift and to defend it, to honor it, so that it will then in turn honor us. They showed up to protect the health of our communities, both the human and the more than human, to stand up for our relationship and to be in reciprocity. This is the spiritual work of creation care. Keep recycling, keep planting native seeds, keep trying to reuse things before you throw them away. But this is the spiritual work, to be in relationship with her. And it can begin with just one small seed. Not any seed necessarily, right? The seed we intend, we are always practicing something. What is the seed you intend to honor and offer reverence and protection for the earth? Whether you are scattering seeds that fight pipelines or reduce plastic waste or grow native vegetation, when we stand together upon the earth, feel the softness of it under our feet and bring forward our offerings, let us also practice reverence for her. Offer our thanksgiving to her, for the earth is ours and she, we are hers and she is ours. Let me get my pronouns right. We are in a relationship, and we must protect her. It's a simple idea, a small seed planted on rocky ground that has immense potential, just like the plant that comes from the mustard seed, immense potential to shift how we live. Let us listen for our mother, for she is calling us to return home. Amen.